Hello, man. All right. Welcome to Every Man's Monday. Like Max said, my name is Billy. I am one of the pastors here at this lovely church. And tonight we're going to be learning about spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity. So let me turn this on because it doesn't work if it's not on. Spiritual maturity right there. So if you guys will just pray with me really quick, we can jump into some very practical things and pray that God will lead us tonight. All right, Father God, I need you, Lord. We need you. We need you to show up here tonight, Holy Spirit, and convict us, grow us. I pray that these words would just pierce our hearts, Lord, that every single one of them would just ring true in our minds and in our hearts, and that the Holy Spirit would just convict us of whatever it is we need to be convicted of to grow spiritually. We love you, Jesus, and we just lift this night up to you. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, so if you guys remember in John chapter 3, a man named Nicodemus comes and he visits Jesus, and Jesus is telling him that, you know, in order to even see the kingdom of God, and in order to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. He's telling Nicodemus this, and Nicodemus is confused, but there's a point in our lives, Christian, when we accept Jesus. We accept the free gift of salvation that God offers us in Jesus Christ. And from that point on, until we die, that whole spot in between there is called God is sanctifying us. You can call it being transformed or perfecting holiness, pursuing righteousness, as the Bible calls it in different spots. This whole area in there, God is designed to be maturing us spiritually. He's created that gap in there to teach us and to grow us and for the Holy Spirit to work in us and to move in us and to make us more like Jesus. The Bible is very serious about growing in spiritual maturity. In 2 Peter 3:18, it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." There are many admonitions in the Bible that tell us to grow up, to grow in your maturity. Don't be babies, grow up. We can talk about that tonight. And before we get into some practicals, there are two things that we need to know about ourselves as Christians. There are two things that each one of us must know, and they need to be foundational truths in our life. And the first one is that our position with God has been secured in Christ. We need to believe that even the most immature baby Christian and the most mature sanctified Christian, their standing with the Lord is exactly the same. Their eternity is exactly as secure. Both of their names are written in the book of life. We see in 2 Peter 1:3, it says, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." All things that pertain to life and godliness. "Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence." Our position with Christ, our position with God is secure. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Our position with God has been secured in Christ. We need to know that. We need to believe that. Next thing we need to know is that our sanctification is a work in progress. Our sanctification is a work in progress. We see this in 2 Peter 1. Verse 5 through 7, it says, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love." So it gives us a list. It gives us a checklist here. If we do all these things, and God is going to sanctify us. The Holy Spirit is going to move in us. He's going to work in us. He's going to sanctify us. Philippians 1:6, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." So God is working in you. God is working in you. So we know that our position with Christ is secure. We also know that we're all sinners. Everybody in this room is a sinner. And every single day we all sin. We all do things that disappoint God, things that God didn't mean for people to do. So I love this John MacArthur quote. He says, spiritual growth is matching our practice with our position. Spiritual growth is matching our practice with our position. We're going to continue to sin every single day until we die and meet Jesus. But God willing, as we grow, as we mature, as the Holy Spirit moves in us and teaches us to be more like Jesus, until that day that we die and we see his face, we're going to keep sinning. So our sanctification is a work in progress. We can't obtain spiritual maturity by just simply letting the time pass. If you've got a guy who accepted Jesus, he became a Christian 40 years ago, he's never opened his Bible, he's never prayed. Then you have another guy who became a Christian last year, and he's opened his Bible and prayed every day last year. I guarantee you the one who's opening his Bible and praying is going to be more mature than the one who's just been a Christian for 40 years. We also can't expect just pure knowledge about God to gain us any kind of spiritual growth. We can't expect that to replace a relationship with him. We can know every single thing that the Bible has to say about God, but unless we walk through some hard times with him, unless we allow Jesus to reveal his glory to us in the good times and the bad times, we'll not even begin to mature spiritually. So I want to share a couple of practical steps towards spiritual growth. These are very practical. These are very, very basic. I'm sure you've all heard them a million times. I've heard them a million times, but like Pastor Bill said, we don't need more information. We don't. We just need to be reminded. We just need to be reminded. Like Steele said, I tell my son to do something all the time. I keep telling him to do the same thing over and over again, or to not do the same thing over and over again. And it's not that he's not hearing it. It's that he's just not doing it. He's not obeying. So I'm proud to remind you men of this. I'm proud to remind myself of this, these practical truths, so we can jump into these. The Bible. The Bible's a big one. Do you believe the Bible? It's a good place to start. Do you believe the Bible? Do you read it? Do you study it? Do you obey it? Do you apply it to your life? Do you have a plan? Like Josh taught a couple of months ago, you have a plan when you wake up in the morning. Do you know what you're going to do and how you're going to read your Bible? Hebrews 5, 12 through 14 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their power of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. How do we know the truth from untruth? The Bible. The Bible teaches us that. How do we know good from bad? The Bible. When the Holy Spirit is in you, and the Holy Spirit is able to convict your mind and your heart about the pages that you're reading on the pages of God's word, I guarantee there's going to be spiritual growth there. It's the way it was designed. The Holy Spirit plus God's word, the Holy Spirit in you, Christian, the Holy Spirit in you plus God's word is a very practical way to mature spiritually. It's like a two-part epoxy. You have part A, you have part B. Now, part A and part B were never meant to sit on the shelf as part A and part B for the rest of their life. The epoxy was created for a purpose. You mix part A and you mix part B and it becomes as hard as a rock. It becomes solid. That's its purpose. Christian, the Holy Spirit is in you. It wants to teach you by you reading God's word, and it can convict you and it can work in your life. Two-part epoxy. Next one is prayer. Do you pray consistently? I'm always encouraged when I hear of men who wake up at whatever crazy hour, 3:30 or whatever in the morning, and they walk around their neighborhood praying for people. That's amazing. I don't do that. Thank you for doing that. Do you pray randomly? If you're having a hard time at work or something came up and you weren't expecting it and you're saying, God, I can't handle this. I need your help right now. I'm so stressed out right now. I need your help. In the good times, God, thank you for that. That was amazing. Thank you. Do you pray randomly? Man, praying is how God reveals his glory to us. It's how he assures us. He reminds us, look, son, I can do anything. Let me show you. Let me show you. It's how we talk to God through prayer. The next one is obedience. Obedience. John 14, 15. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Keep his commandments. When you read Jesus' words, are you recognizing the things that he's asking you to be obedient in? Are they jumping off the page at you? And are you thinking in your mind, I need to obey him in that? I guess the better question is, are you obeying him in those things? Like what John Piper said, he said, sanctification is happening where the words of Jesus are being obeyed. When you're obeying Jesus, when you decide to turn your mind away from an evil thing and to instead go and pursue righteousness, go and do what's right, to turn away from sin and to do what's right, I guarantee the Holy Spirit is in you just growing you up, making you more and more mature. The next one is sexual purity. This is a big one, man. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 5. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. If you choose to be sexually immoral, if you choose to look at something you're not supposed to look at, or imagine something you're not supposed to be imagining, or if you're doing something outside of God's confines of marriage, you're acting like you're acting out of the passion of the lust, like the Gentiles who don't know God. We need to stop this, man. We need to stop. We need to be a church that is known. For if somebody brings up some kind of topic at work and you don't want to hear about it, or maybe you just need to shut it down. You know what? I don't really, let's talk about something else. We need to move on from that. Nothing will separate you and God more than sexual sin. Nothing will separate you from your family faster than sexual sin. Which brings us right into our next one, accountability. John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A mature Christian has a group of men that he can talk to, or a faithful brother he can talk to about real things, about struggles. Do you have men in your life who, you know, if you tell them something, they're not going to go and gossip and tell everybody else about it. And they're not going to look down on you and think, oh, you're disgusting. We need men in our lives who are going to pray for us. We can speak openly to them about our sins, about our struggles, and they can hold us accountable, not only for our sexual purity, but for reading the Bible, for praying, for being nice to our kids, whatever it is that we're struggling in, whatever we see in ourselves that we're failing at as Christians, or we feel that we're failing at as Christians, they can help us. They can come alongside us and lift us up. We can do the same to them. They can show us our blind spots. We can show them their blind spots. God created us for that. He created us to be together. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Be honest with a brother. They can pray for you. So God will bring healing. That brings us to fellowship. Hospitality. Having people over for dinner, having people over for games or dessert or snack, going to people's houses. Fellowship. Small group. Are you in a small group? Hosting a small group? Leading a small group? Do you hang out with people outside of the church? This last New Year's, I hung out with a couple of my best friends. It was great. We hung out. We just were together. We talked about the top 10, if any American bands were in the top 10 rock and roll list or something. You don't have to, yeah. Fellowship. Hang out with brothers. I guarantee that if you're looking for somebody to hang out with in this room, I guarantee that there's something going on after church. There's usually a whole group of guys going to Cafe Rio or something. Go hang out with them. Get to know them. Get into a small group. Get plugged in. Ever since I moved into my house, my wife, Ashley, she's been wanting fruit trees. I grew up across the street from a house that had fruit trees, and I've always reminded my wife every time she brings up wanting fruit trees that when you're a kid and you're under a fruit tree, it's like a little slice of hell. It's like a distillery gone wrong. It smells bad, and there's bees everywhere, and there are flies, and you're slipping on stuff the whole time. She wanted fruit trees, and we went to a friend's house, and they had some awesome fruit trees. They had some apple trees. So I said to Ash, I said, yeah, we can get an apple tree. That's all right. Let's get an apple tree. She said, oh, okay, cool. She's all excited, and she said, well, we need two. I said, what? So apparently there's a thing called cross-pollinization where, you know, you need two different types of apple trees. Well, God created it that way. And God created us that way. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. You're not going to mature spiritually if you're trying to be a Lone Ranger Christian and do it on your own. God created us to have fellowship. He created us to cross-pollinate. Next thing is service. Mark 12, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Josh, a couple years ago, the Whitneys moved into a new house, and they're on the corner, there's a roundabout right next to their house. And he said when they moved in, the weeds at the roundabout were up to his waist, so he packed up his kids, and they went on a walkabout up to the roundabout, and they started pulling out weeds, and it blessed the whole neighborhood. Now, everybody who drives into that neighborhood doesn't see this roundabout that's full of weeds. They see a clean roundabout. That's loving your neighbor. That's blessing your neighbor. Are you loving your neighbor? Are you serving your neighbor? Are you serving your wife? Are you serving your kids? Are you serving your church? If you want to grow as a Christian, serving is a great way to do it. Today's been kind of a different day for me. For the first day in, since 2007, I didn't wake up and go to work as a construction electrician. This morning I woke up and I went to work as a maintenance electrician. So my last job, I was working a ton of hours. I barely saw my kids. I rarely saw my wife. I really rarely saw you guys. And I sought some counsel from some trusted brothers, and God worked it out for me to get a new job. So I ended up getting a new job, and today was the first day of my new job. And the main reason I took this job wasn't because there was more money. It wasn't because it was more money. It was because it was less hours. It gave me more time to see my wife. It gave me more time to see my kids. I served my wife by saying, you know what? You know, if if my identity were tied up in my job, then I would be committing, I would be doing something crazy. I'd be doing something crazy professionally to quit my job to go to this new job. But you know what? My identity is not in my job. And man, I understand. It is a lot easier to stay at work and to hash things out and to get things done than it is to go home and engage after a long day of work. It's a lot easier to do that than go home and lay on the ground and let the kids and the dog crawl all over you. It's way easier just to stay at work and to get stuff done. I understand that. Service. If you want to grow as a Christian, serve the people around you. Serve your neighbor. Serve your brother. Serve your wife. Serve your kids. Next one is outreach. Outreach, sharing the gospel. God gives you opportunities to share your faith with people. Are you ready? Do you have something to say? When somebody asks, oh, what are you doing this weekend? There you go. Perfect opportunity. I'm going to church. Oh, what church do you go to? I go to the Rock Church. Why do you go to the Rock Church? Well, let me tell you. It's easy to transition any conversation into why you believe what you believe. Do you have something to say when it comes up? See, a mature Christian, when the opportunity comes up, they recognize it, and they recognize it's from God, and they take that opportunity. We all know the verse, Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We all know the verse. This is a reminder. I just read it again. It's reminding us. Are we obeying it? That's the question. Are we obeying it? Are you going out of your way to share the gospel? There's a group of men in here who are faithful and who have been faithful for years. They've been going down to the temple, standing outside of the temple downtown, and just sharing their faith, talking to people, handing out tracts, asking people questions. If you want to grow spiritually, if you want to mature spiritually, share your faith. And if man's chief end is truly to glorify God, then what glorifies God more than you opening your mouth and somebody coming to a saving faith in Jesus Christ? Other believers are glorifying God. Praise God. That guy got saved. That girl got saved. That's awesome. But we're not the only ones. The angels in heaven are glorifying God also. And just like the apple trees that I planted in my backyard, the proof of maturity was going to be in the fruit. The proof of the maturity is going to be in the fruit. And right now, they just look like a couple of sticks that my kids stuck in the ground. But God willing, in time, with the right amount of nourishment and water, the right amount of sun, they'll produce many years of fruit. My apple trees, they're not going to have to think about making apples. They're just going to be doing exactly what God intended for them to do. And as mature Christians, the fruit of the Spirit is going to be the overflow of our hearts. We're not even going to have to think about it. It's just going to be what happens in our interactions. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I would love it. I would love it if every one of my interactions were peaceful, where I just displayed incredible patience. I was kind to the person. Now, to be honest, I am not as spiritually mature as I should be. I'm not. From the day I became a Christian to this point in my life, I guarantee I've made the Holy Spirit's work in my life harder. There have been days when I just didn't want to read the Bible, so I didn't read it. I didn't pray. There have been days when I wasn't obedient to God. I wasn't obedient. I didn't choose to look the other way. Days that I haven't been accountable. I decided to leave this church and go be in a band with a bunch of unbelievers and play rock and roll music across the country with hopes of saving the world. Oh, I'm going to share Jesus. But you know what happened? My faith went. Accountability was not there. Fellowship was not there. There have been days people have asked me to move. I don't want to move. You? It's my only day off, man. I've made the Holy Spirit's work in my life harder. I'm not as spiritually mature as I should be. And I guarantee that I can say the same for every single man in this room. Because every single one of us is a sinner. Nobody in here is perfect. We're not perfect, but God is good. And God has a plan for our lives. He really does. And I'm confident that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Like Max said, thanks be to God who gives us the victory. He's given us the victory. Our position is set. Let's just get our practice up there. Let's match our practice with our position. This is my challenge for this month. Amen. Let's keep a journal of how God is growing us in our time with him. Let's keep a journal and let's focus specifically on the areas that we're seeing growth and also specifically on the areas that we would like to see more spiritual growth. If you guys need a journal, we've got journals out here. Come see me, I can give you a journal, a really cool journal. It says The Rock Church on it. Now, as pastors, as leaders of this church, we want to set you men up to succeed. If you need a Bible, come see me. We'll give you a Bible. If you want to pray more, we have a prayer list that comes out every month. If you need something more to pray about, we can help you in that. If you want to practice obedience, like Brian said, you haven't been baptized, we have a baptism packet. You can get baptized. You can obey Jesus. If you need help in purity, in your sexual purity, come and see us. Come and see me. I can help and I can give you resources on sexual purity. If you want fellowship, we have small group packets. You can look through and decide you want to be part of a small group. Get plugged in. If you want to serve, we have serving packets out there. You guys can fill out a serving packet. Write your name down. We'll call you to clean some toilets, mop some floors, take out some trash. You want to learn how to share the gospel better? We're doing an outreach class. Man, we want to prep you guys. We want to help you guys. I want to help you succeed in growing and maturing and becoming more and more like Jesus, because we're not here just to see people walk in the doors and walk out. That's not what we're here for. We're here to bring people in the doors and to tell people about Jesus. We're here to see them accept the good work that Jesus has done for them, the free work, the promise that he guarantees us as Christians. We want to see those believers become more and more mature. We want to see them become disciples. If you need help with any of these areas, please let me know. Please let one of the pastors know. I'd love to help you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for just reminding us of your truth. Thank you for reminding us that we are safe in you, God. You have prepared a place for us. You are preparing a place for us, and that our salvation is secure in you. Thank you for that. God, help us to be more like you every day. Help us to match our practice with our position. I pray you'd help us with reading our Bibles, with praying. You'd help us with obeying you. God, I pray that you would give us victory in our sexual purity. Pray that we'd be men of accountability and men of fellowship who know each other, who talk to each other, who love each other, who care about each other. Lord, I pray we'd be a church full of men who know how to serve people. A church full of men and women who know how to share the gospel. We can partake in your work by sharing the gospel. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you that we get to magnify your glory in this life. We love you, Jesus. We look forward to meeting you face to face. It's in your name we pray. Amen.